A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Ram, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on May 21, 1995, entitled Baptized into Christ, Called to Maturity. The scripture readings are Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 10, and chapter 4, verses 1 through 16, and Luke 24, verses 44 through 53. The texts for the sermon are Luke 24, verse 51, and Ephesians 4, verse 15. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
You see, on the Sunday when we celebrate the Ascension, it might be necessary to say that Jesus didn't go into the lower parts of the earth. That's a different kind of cosmology, isn't it? Where do you go to if you go into the lower parts of the earth? A molten core? No, that's not the point. Paul is saying that he went down as far as there is down, and he went up as far as there is up. He went everywhere. He completely filled the cosmos. And his gifts were that some should be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipment of the saints, for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the cunning of men, by their craftiness in deceitful wiles. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint with which it is supplied, when each part is working properly, makes bodily growth and builds itself in love. This is the Sunday in which we celebrate the Ascension, which will not be celebrated on Thursday, which is Ascension Day. We don't celebrate Ascension Day. For some reason or other, it's never gotten its due. It's really a day that has a varied witness in the scriptures. Matthew doesn't mention it at all. Mark doesn't mention it either, except if you take that tail end of the gospel that someone added because they didn't like the way Mark ended. John would say that ascension and resurrection were synonymous. It would seem to have happened on Easter Day. Luke is the one who gives us the 40-day period, 40 days after Easter, and that comes not only at the end of his gospel, where he gives us actually that parting of Jesus, but in the book of Acts, his second volume, in the first chapter, where he says that Jesus made himself known through many infallible proofs, those encounters that he had with his followers following the resurrection, when he would appear now and again, here and there, in a transformed state of being. He was not like Lazarus, a resuscitated corpse. Jesus was in a transformed state of being. And now and again, here and there, to this one or that one, there he was. And Luke says that happened for a period of 40 days, Acts 1:3. Whenever you read 40 in the scriptures, don't you believe it, because it doesn't mean 40. 40 years in the wilderness for Israel, 40 days in the wilderness temptation for Jesus, 40 days after the resurrection, just means for a period of time. But in the church, we're literalists. It says 40, so 40 days after Easter, we celebrate Ascension, even though it's on Thursday. Now, what can you celebrate on Thursday, right? So we do it on Sunday, either before or after. It is simply the teaching of the church that God, who was manifest in the flesh of Jesus, Jesus who lived, who was crucified, whom God raised up, is no longer here present in our history, in our flesh. But Jesus lives and Jesus reigns. Jesus is in the presence of God in light eternal, And Jesus is continually engaged with us. The one who is absent is present in his absence. For the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God, present with us. And this one who lived and died and rose again continues to be engaged with his people from the presence of God. So the teaching of ascension. And Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, says that he blesses us with every spiritual blessing in this heavenly domain, in this relationship now that he sustains with us. This marvelous vision of Paul, which leaves him in awe at the mystery and the majesty of God, who created all things and will bring all things to their fulfillment and consummation. All of that, Paul says, somehow or other, having to do with this Jesus, crucified, risen, reigning in the presence of God and with God. But the point is that we who are the people of God, the followers of Jesus, are called now by Paul to maturity. Baptism is our initiating rite. By the sign of baptism, we are marked as included in this community. As Peter said, everybody wanted to have baptism on Father's Day. So much for planning, right? So we'll forget about baptism. But being baptized into Christ, being made members of this community, is not enough. We are called to grow. We are called to maturity. And being called to maturity, we are being called never to stop, never to desist from that pilgrimage of faith that probes and pushes and stretches. We are called to exertion, to be serious followers of Jesus. Paul calls us, first of all, to humility and to gentleness and to long-suffering and to patience, pleading with the people of Ephesus to keep the spirit of unity and the bond of love. Because, he says, you know, there's really just one Spirit, one calling, one hope, one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. And so keep that unity together and then grow up. And he talks about the gifts that the ascended Christ gives to the church. Not some big super organization. Paul didn't know anything about the World Council of Churches or the Roman Catholic Church or the Eastern Orthodox Communion. And neither Paul nor anyone else ever heard of the Reformed Church in America. But besides that, he's talking to a congregation at Ephesus, followers of Jesus, those that have been baptized into Christ. And he says to them, now grow up. Now you say to somebody, grow up. It can be a derogatory thing. I don't mean that. Paul says, grow up. And an invitation to move toward maturity. And moving toward maturity means to move toward Christ's likeness. In his letter to the Galatians, he says, I pray for you, I struggle in prayer for you until Christ be formed in you. Last week, in 2 Corinthians 3, when we preached about Paul saying to the Corinthians, you are my letters, portraits in flesh, he ended that chapter by saying, and we beholding him as in a mirror are transformed into his likeness from one degree to another. And here now he calls the church at Ephesus to mature into the fullness of Jesus Christ. So Jesus, the model, Jesus, the man in flesh, now in the presence of God, grants to the church gifts in order that the church may be a body that is alive and is growing and moving toward maturity. The invitation this morning is to grow up. And the church has not always encouraged people to grow up. Years ago, there were some studies that came out, for example, in education or in moral development, that traced the stages through which the human person moves from infancy, childhood, adolescence, and adulthood. And pattering himself on those studies, James Fowler, who is a Christian educator, wrote a book, Stages of Faith, in which he identified from infancy to adulthood some six or seven stages. But what struck me when I came across that some years ago was the fact that Fowler said that most Christians get stuck at stage three, which is really a stage of adolescence. And what struck me more is that he said the reason most Christians get stuck in their spiritual development is that they are encouraged to stay there by pastors like me. Because it is much easier to be a leader of sheep than of thinking, independent people probing with freedom. It is much easier if you would just listen to me, heed my word, obey me, follow me, do as I do, say as I say. When I say something, mimic it. Be my parrots. You see? Now, somebody says, what do you believe at Christ Community? You don't say, well, I believe. You say, well, we believe. Or what do you Protestants believe? Or what do you Reformed people believe? No. Paul said, no groupthink, folks. Grow up. Begin to develop within yourself a conviction of faith by which you can live, so that you live out of your own center. And it would be Paul's plea, and it would be my hope, that there would be no cookie-cutter Christians at Christ Community. Stuck at stage three, just sheep blindly following some external rule pressed on. But that rather you would be radical, rambunctious, hard to control, out of control, off the wall, unpredictable, because you were struggling seriously and responsibly with the faith and what it means to follow Jesus today. Now, the church hasn't done a very good job of encouraging that. I think that, for one thing, we fail, perhaps, to create that vision as the apostle tried to express it. You see, in Paul's day, there weren't any creeds or catechisms or definitions, because Paul was riding the crest of a wave. No one worries about dotting I's and crossing T's when the fire is burning. It's only when the fires begin to dampen a bit and faith begins to fizzle a bit. It's only when there's no rush of experience that people begin to make discriminations and get into all kinds of hair-splitting discussions. No. Perhaps in the church we failed somehow or other to bring people to a sense of awe before the greatness and the glory of God. There's been a recent series of articles in the New York Times on the mega churches across the country and how they're booming and how masses, multitudes are flocking. And some of them are baldly, unapologetically stating that what it is on Sunday morning is entertainment. That gets people coming. And that keeps people coming. And I feel very uneasy about that. Now, I confess before you that in my 60th year, I am caught somewhere between obstreperousness and senility. And I'm just about at the point of becoming one of those grumpy old men. And Peter's not far behind. So I gotta say, you know, new times, new techniques, I know that. And I just hate to sound conservative. But I wanna say, folks, entertainment moves the emotions, it titillates us. But I'm not sure it takes us down to the depths that causes awe to rise so that we stand dumbstruck in wonder. I find more wonder, more awe in the leading scientists of the world today who are probing the cosmological secrets of the universe than I do in church. I don't think entertainment will do it, even though I know it works. Nor do I think a fundamentalist posture will do it. A fundamentalist posture is a posture that harks back to a former day as though back there it was right and good. Fundamentalism essentially is the reiteration of yesterday's answers to today's questions. And it really is a refusal to listen to the questions today. And I keep saying to you, you can't go home. In the church, we can't turn the clock backwards. And the good old days weren't so good anyway. And for the Christian, the golden age is not back there, but up there. No, that kind of fundamentalism that's rampant in the nation today, with all kinds of rallies and crusades and balloons and whatever. That which seems to have a lot of muscle today, the religious right, is trying to restore yesterday. That won't work either. And a dead orthodoxy won't work either. Orthodox means right opinion. And the church is always trying to define the last word. It's true of every church, every religious movement. It will always start in a blush of glory, and it will end in a boring definition. It will try finally to get its arms around this deposit of truth and then guard it and preserve it and defend it and perpetuate it. And it's best if you just take it wholesale without thinking about it. That is not maturity either. No. Paul says, Christian people, grow up. Think for yourselves. Begin yourselves to discern. Study the scriptures. Question the sermons. Open your mind and heart to the Spirit. Engage with the world. Get your hands dirty with the rough and tumble of life. And let the Spirit of God form Christ in you. We are not some set of pigeonholes into which prefabricated truth can be crammed. We are human beings. We are called to think. We are called to weigh. I was deeply moved 2 weeks ago by our young rabbi friend, Daniil Hartman, who distinguished between the Genesis 22 and the Genesis 18. The Genesis 22 saying, the world is too chaotic, it's too uncertain, it's too complex, I can't figure it out. Just tell me, Charlie. No, it's Genesis 18, where a person argues with God, where a person holds God to God's own word, where a person discerns and acts out of an inward conviction, out of a sifting, out of a thinking, out of a wrestling, where a person is alive and open, malleable, flexible, free, able to be moved along on winds of the Spirit into fresh vistas of the truth. You see, the trouble with the church is, every church, every group, is claim we have the truth with a capital T. Nobody has the truth with a capital T. That is for the future. It is promised. God will sum up all things in Jesus Christ. God's got a purpose. God's got a plan. Things are going somewhere. It'll come, but it's not yet. We're human. We're on the way. We're people in process. We're on a pilgrimage. We have truth with a small T. We have many truths. We are trying to find our way. And as we are called to maturity, we keep evolving and emerging and coming to new insight and new understanding. We are alive. The Spirit of God is within us. The last word hasn't been spoken. The best is yet to be. So grow up. You don't like it. Because then you got to think. Then there are no ready-made answers. Then it's not all wrapped up in a neat package. That's okay. That's the way it is. It's the way it's supposed to be. That's the only way it can honestly be. That's the only way you can live with authenticity. Acknowledging our limitations. Acknowledging that we act with limited knowledge and limited insight, with growing and expanding horizons, people on the way. Hard work. Stretching. Painful. Why, my goodness, sometimes I have to change my mind. Terrible. But that's the way to maturity. And I would like you to be a rambunctious, rebellious people, always clamoring after some new insight into this exciting cosmos, which is going somewhere so grand and glorious that it took Paul's breath away. And would that it would take ours away as well. The invitation is to grow up.